Good morning. This is Mardell Gunn and the Garden Conversation. And today I'm in Skagway and I'm visiting with Brooke Jasky Zuber. I got her name. And she is the manager of the Lazy Daisy Farm here in Skagway. But we're not necessarily going to talk about the normal garden crops today, as we have in the past. Today we're going to talk about something else she knows a whole lot about, but I know very little. So I'm not going to be doing much of the talking today, I don't think. We're going to talk about medicinal plants that are in the garden. Whether you want them to be. I mean, I guess you would call them, many people call them weeds, I suppose.
Yes.
A weed is really just a plant that it's not where you want it to be.
Exactly.
So, but anyway, we want to talk about the value of them and how to make them valuable. And so, have at it. What are the, well, let me ask you first, how did you get started with learning about medicinals?
Well, my earliest that I can kind of reach back into my memory of having a strong interest in, or at least starting to dive into learning about medicinals, I was in my, I think, early 20s, if not late teens. Mm-hmm. And I was living here in Skagway. I'd been here for just a few years. And I finally decided to start acting on my interest. Mm-hmm. And I picked up a book called The Seven Herbs and started reading about this particular author's opinion on how to go about learning about plants. Mm-hmm. And he just said to see which plant calls to you and learn about that plant until you have learned enough that you are very, very familiar with it. Mm-hmm. And the theory behind that is then when you go to use it or you go to suggest it to somebody else, you really know what you're suggesting. Mm-hmm. And that it's better to really know that one plant and its many uses than to know a lot of plants broadly.
Mm-hmm. So to be a specialist in one plant rather than a generalist. Yeah. Yeah.
And so yarrow has, I haven't even mentioned it.
That's the one that you picked, was yarrow?
Yarrow was the one that okay. That I picked, or it picked me, one or the other. Mm-hmm. So I used that plant for about a year before I moved on to any other plant. Mm-hmm. And it was a great relationship. And I have since then depended on yarrow for a great deal of things. And I think part of that is because I got to know it so well, I think of it first for a lot of things.
And I'm going to limit you to about 12 minutes to talk about it.
Okay. I'll try to pack it in. So I'll just introduce you guys to some basic things about yarrow that will be really helpful for the beginner. Mm-hmm. And I do want to start by just saying, like, make sure that you know your plants before you go out and harvest. There can be poisonous or toxic lookalikes. Mm-hmm. And test... you know, if you've never tried wild plants, maybe just have a little sip or something like that before you go ahead and drink a whole cup of tea or something to make sure that your body's not going to have some sort of severe reaction. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just premising it with that. But yarrow, as a first aid, it's amazing to stop bleeding for small and large wounds. It reduces pain and swelling. I've used it for pretty severe injuries like crushed fingers and major cuts. Mm-hmm. And it has stopped pain in 20 minutes.
Wow.
And stopped bleeding almost, I don't want to say instantly, but within a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And I've heard of even more extreme examples of like people getting cut by a chainsaw and packing the wound with yarrow. And one of the beauties of using it for open wounds is even though you're crushing it into a poultice, which is where you just crush the plant until it is exuding its own juices, mm-hmm. And you have all those little bits of plant matter, you don't have to worry about that plant matter getting the wound infected because it's antibacterial, antiviral, mm-hmm. antifungal. So I've never had any issues with yarrow matter in a wound.
Little pieces getting
right.
stuck
I mean,
left in there.
Of course, you want to make sure the plant itself doesn't have dirt on it and mm-hmm. things like that. But even if it did, I still don't think that you would have issues because of it treating
because
the wound.
Uh-huh.
So that's a quick bit on it as a first aid. It's just amazing.
All parts of the plant, flowers, stem,
yep.
everything,
you
anything
can use
be used for that?
Any of it. But okay. I would use, for an open wound, I think the leaf is the best. You're going to get the most moisture out of it. And if it's really, really dry out for some reason and the leaf is not producing, I just squish it in my hand and roll it around like my hand and thumb or a mortar and pestle. Pestle.
Right.
But if you can always chew it a little bit. If you need to.
With saliva and get it.
I try not to do that for other people just because my saliva in their wound might seem a little gross.
Right.
But for my own wounds, I've definitely done that. But you can also, if you need a bunch of it, just put a whole bunch of leaves in your hands and just kind of like rub them back and forth to get a bunch all at once. Using it internally, like if you want to drink it as a tea, and again, if you have like an allergy to asters, this is definitely not the plant for you. Or maybe just proceed with caution. But as a tea, it's really safe. And of course, if you know you're sensitive to plants, I have had people have extreme, I don't want to say extreme reactions, but they didn't need a lot of plant to get the medicinal properties out of it. I can use a lot of yarrow and not have any, and actually need a lot of it, you know? But I have had some people need very little. Maybe you have had like a cough or something for a long time and drank a really strong yarrow tea I made them and then told me later that they just like woke up hacking and had a ton of like deeply rooted phlegm come up, and that was good, except for it made them cough so much that they felt bruised, you know. So it can be potent for some people.
Be strong medicine. So can you, this is asking you much, but so can you recommend, like, if somebody hasn't used this before, how much should it be, does it need to be fresh or can it be dried, or kind of how should somebody start if they want to do that?
Yeah. So let me just top off with the when you want to drink it for tea, like what you might want to use that for, which would be just if you have a cold, if you are maybe just feeling like people are sick around you and you want a little bit of a boost. It's great for any sort of lung condition, chest congestion, or general inflammation. And the best time to harvest the leaves is before the flowers start to form. There's going to be more medicine in the leaves. And they're kind of feathery looking.
Yeah, they're a very beautiful plant.
I try
to look at it that way when they act as weeds. They are beautiful.
And I can never see... yarrow is not beautiful, it's hard for me to pull it out.
It's all a matter of perspective.
So
before they flower,
that's when the leaves are the best. And the leaves are definitely going to be the best for your poultice. I find them less bitter than the flowers, so it might be nicer for your tea. And the flowers, you can still use those for your tea. They're just going to be a little bit more bitter. They smell amazing, though. If you get the flowers before the pollen is gone, before all the bees collect the pollen in the middle, they smell like honey.
Oh, really?
If you get in close, and you can also use the flowers as a face steam. It's it's toning. And so, and that's another use for it if you have some sort of lung infection or lung congestion, is you can do a steam with yarrow in a bowl and put a towel over your head and let the steam...
Just breathe it in.
Yep. And it's very
the
helpful.
Flowers, not the leaves for that? Or
you can use any part of the plant
any
for
part.
That.
Okay.
Yep. So that's a just sort of quick introduction. There's a lot of information out there about yarrow, and it has so many uses. And each herbalist is going to expand on, you know, the use for that plant. It's known in herbalism as the wounded healer's healer. So it's used for... It's the go-to choice for a healer. Its Latin name is Achillium millefolium, which is named after Achilles.
The Achilles heel.
Achilles, the warrior, the god. It's said that he was dipped in a bath of yarrow and that he would use yarrow in the battlefield to treat his soldiers. And millefolium, I believe it means like a million leaves.
Which that's kind of the leaf pattern of So if I were to collect this for use, you're saying that the ideal time before it flowers, and then I take it in for winter, because I'm not going to have this in the winter.
Right.
So then I should take it in and just dry it and store it to be able to use for tea. Obviously, I wouldn't do this for poultice.
Yeah.
But for tea, I should dry the leaves.
Yeah. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. I do have a dehydrator, so I do that to make sure it's really dry, so mm-hmm. I know it's going to last the winter and not mold.
Right.
But mm-hmm. even if you just hang dry it and the house isn't super moist, it should be just fine.
Like over a cook stove, I used to, bring it in and hang it over a cook stove.
Especially a wood stove.
Yeah, yeah. It gets pretty dry then.
Mm-hmm. And like in the fall, like if you were harvesting when it is in flower, that's totally fine. You're mm-hmm. still going to get all those medicinal properties. It is just ideal for the leaves if you get them before the flower.
Right. And it might not taste quite as well.
Yeah.
I used the flowers. I remember one winter I was battling. It was a bad cold season. A lot of people had colds around me. And I would drink the tea. But that was flower tea. And I must say that I think it was a little bit bitter.
Definitely better.
So using the leaves might be a better choice to start with.
And yarrow tea with little honey is awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do love it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So anything else about yarrow? Because I also want to touch on another one that is so common in the garden. So anything else on yarrow?
I think we can move on from there. There is so much you can learn about it.
Right.
So many books out there.
You did well. That was only not even 12 minutes. So, what about plantain? Can you give us about 4 minutes worth of plantain?
Plantain.
Yeah.
The plant, not the banana. So there's a couple different types of plantain we have in the Upper Lynn Canal.
Mm,
and
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I haven't seen the lance leaf plantain in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it doesn't grow up here, mm-hmm. but the broadleaf one is easy to identify.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not sure, when you pull the leaf apart, the veins will, if you're gentle about it, the veins will, the little strands in the veins will stay intact.
Oh, really?
So that's one way to positively identify
mm-hmm.
plantain.
Mm-hmm.
And plantain, a lot like yarrow, is just a great wellness tonic. It's very safe. You can take it on a daily basis. It helps with general immunity.
Oh.
And it's, as a first aid, it has a lot of similar qualities. It helps reduce pain and swelling. It helps to cleanse the wound. But it also does something that yarrow doesn't do, which is it can pull foreign objects out of the body. It's including things like sand, splinters, but especially like just a special note, infections. And so it does need a point of exit. So you can't put it over a healed wound or a scab that has already healed.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put it on something and it just needs a little opening to pull that infection
mm-hmm.
out. And so I've used this on all kinds of swollen infections on people. I've used tons of plantain on people who have been mauled by dogs.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And other, like just a severe example where the infection had gotten really bad and the whole leg was swollen, the whole front of the calf, and it in a day the swelling had gone down, and you'd want to repeat, change it out and do it until the infection is definitely gone.
Mm-hmm.
But it is just miraculous that way.
So do I chew it up either chew it up or crush it and then just put it directly on where that infection is?
Yep, just pack the whole area really well, just generously pack
mm-hmm.
it and then secure it in place.
Mm-hmm.
And leave it until I would say you could leave it as long as 24 hours before
mm-hmm.
you change it out, as long
so
as the plant doesn't dry.
So maybe put a bandage
yep.
and tape it. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
One other thing to note about yarrow is it has really...
No, plantain.
I'm sorry, plantain.
Right.
Yes, plantain.
Yeah.
Is it has a really amazing property that not a lot of plants have. I think cottonwood has it and comfrey has it, and it is the ability to help proliferate cell generation. So it helps your body produce more cells and heal,
mm-hmm.
Heal faster.
Mm-hmm.
And comfrey is great for this, but comfrey is a fast healer. It is not an intelligent healer, is what they would call it in herbalism. Mm-hmm. And they would call plantain an intelligent healer because it pulls the infection out and heals.
Oh, wow.
And whereas comfrey, if you have an open infected wound, it'll just heal over the infection.
Oh, lovely. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So comfrey is great after the infection is gone.
But not as part of a process of pulling infection out.
Yeah.
That's really helpful. We have some infection going on right now, so I'm going to use it immediately.
Awesome.
And we're out of time. Man, obviously, we could do many, many.
Endless.
Yes. And maybe we will do more. Those are two really good plants to know, because all of us have them. Any gardener has plantain and yarrow, mm-hmm. if not in their garden, certainly around it. So it's really good to know how to use these.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mardell.
Okay. All right. Happy gardening, everyone.